Welcome to United Voices, the podcast where we explore stories and organizations shaping a stronger, more connected Waterloo region. My name is Kyla Musgrave, and I'm part of the team behind United Voices. In this episode, my colleague Brian Cam speaks with Andrea Ferguson, the Executive Director of One Roof Youth Services, an organization that has been a lifeline for vulnerable youth for over three decades. From emergency shelter to life skills programming and long-term housing supports, One Roof is doing critical work to ensure every young person has a chance to build a future with dignity, safety, and hope. Let's get into the episode.
All right. Welcome to Andrea Ferguson. She, her pronouns. Now the Executive Director of One Roof Youth Services. Thanks for joining us today, Andrea.
Thank you so much for having me.
Fantastic. Can you provide our listeners with a bit of an overview of One Roof Youth Services and its mission within Region of Waterloo?
Yeah, absolutely. So One Roof Youth Services, we are here to support the safety, the well-being, and the empowerment of youth ages 12 to 25 in the Region of Waterloo who are experiencing homelessness or who are at risk of homelessness. So our mission is really to break that cycle of homelessness for these young individuals by providing wraparound services here on site through our shelter, through our supportive housing and beyond to, you know, give them a future that's, you know, stable and sustainable.
Great. So yeah, you talked about breaking the cycle of homelessness and that wraparound support. Can you unpack a little bit for folks around what wraparound support means?
Absolutely. Yeah. So when we have a youth come and access services for the first time, we do an intake with them. And right off the bat, we kind of want to know, you know, a little bit about their history, about the things that they are hoping to gain from coming to One Roof and engaging in our services. And we try to set a few goals with them, right? And of course, you know, give us the information that you're comfortable with. You know, it takes some time to warm up to us sometimes. But from there, we can kind of, we set them up with a case manager right away. So you have somebody that's kind of focused on the things that you need to gain from our services. And from there, we really hope to, you know, engage everybody with that one-on-one kind of support and resources.
Just recently, Andrea, I saw in the news that there was a regional presentation to council around the PIT count. And for listeners who may not be familiar with what that is, that's the point in time count of people who are identified as unhoused in the community. And it doesn't always fully capture all of the people experiencing homelessness because, I mean, you mentioned earlier about intake and being able to get to know where folks are at. And so everybody's experience, including those for youth, of homelessness is quite different. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Absolutely. For youth, the experience of homelessness, it's not always as evident as it can be for adults. It's not somebody that's necessarily living on the street that you can see is homeless. Youth are very transient. They're very resourceful. So they can kind of land in different locations and move around much more frequently. So it's really difficult to sort of capture, first of all, if they are experiencing homelessness, because it's often what we like to call hidden homelessness. And then hard to just find them to even include them in these counts sometimes. So I think the PIT count for the Region of Waterloo ended up saying that 7% of people experiencing homelessness were categorized as under 25. Statistics in Canada, they really seem to be more like 1 in 5 people experience homelessness before the age of 25. So we did our best to try to get out in community and capture the voices of all of those youth, but you know, we just can't get to all of them in that one day.
And I was reading something along this line, and it might have been from the same article, that once a youth has experienced homelessness, there's that much of a greater chance that they will experience homelessness as an adult, which is kind of frightening.
Absolutely. But at the same time, somebody under the age of 25, we have a really good chance of pulling them out of that cycle. And that's why our age mandate is so specific, because we know we can make a significant difference for these youth.
Definitely doing that. Could you walk us through a bit about some of the key programs and services that One Roof provides to sort of help those youth on that journey?
Absolutely. So we have a big, beautiful campus here where we're able to provide a lot of things right on site. So of course, our two big programs are our emergency shelter, which just increased from 18 to 24 beds. So that is, you know, immediate overnight support. And it's also often the first time that we get in front of these youth and we can kind of have those conversations and see what else they could benefit from. Then we have our supportive housing. So moving out of shelter and into a more permanent housing situation, which is on site and staffed 24/7. So, you know, we're working on life skills development at that point and really trying to get them ready to leave our supportive housing and enter the independent market. But with those programs, we also offer a whole host of other things. So we have mental health and addiction supports right here on site. We offer a family reconnect program. So, you know, if there's an opportunity to get somebody back to mom and dad or grandma, grandpa, or another family member, or, you know, close friend or relative, we always have those services available. We do a drop-in. So our drop-in services have been closed and by appointment only for about a year and a half now. But next Monday, they are reopening, which we're super excited about. So that, you know, that's a place to come in to join programming. We have meaningful programming all day, be it recreational or therapeutic. We can offer you what we call lifeline. So that is hygiene products, clothing, showers, meals. We have a locker storage. You know, we can store a few things for the youth. We also have our host homes program. So if somebody is looking for a short stay and shelter is maybe not an appropriate fit for them, we do have some host home providers that can take our youth in. We have food hampers that we do once a week. We have employment and education resources right here on site. Housing supports. We can get you out to viewings. We can support you in those, help you understand tenant and landlord rights and responsibilities. And then we have an employment program here where we actually pay youth for 12-week increments to come and learn skills, be it property and building maintenance. We have kitchen skills. We do silk screening in our thrift store where you also learn retail skills. And you get a whole bunch of certifications with that. So we do your CPR certification, your, say, food handling, things like that. So lots of different things going on. And then we also have community partners that join us quite frequently. They'll come in. We have counseling services on site, nurses on site, things like that. So we're very engaged with all of the organizations in the community to kind of bring those to one roof. So you know, kind of have a place where they feel safe.
Wonderful. Can you give a shout out to some of those partners that you're working with that you bring into your space, or maybe you connect youth with out in the community?
Yeah, absolutely. So the ESHRI, the emergency, I'm going to get this acronym wrong. The region provides for us a few programs. That's the on-site counseling and the nurses and that come in, public health. Then we work with SASC, with Sanguine, with the Working Center. Their outreach team is here quite frequently. Who else?
I'll translate the acronyms, and I'm terrible with acronyms too. SASC, for those listening, the Sexual Assault Support Center of Waterloo Region. We recently had Sarah Castleman on one of our podcasts. So yes, thank you, Sarah. Go ahead there, Andrea.
Who else? Starling, you know, obviously rent supports, rapid rehousing. Our process for matching tenants to our supportive housing all comes through Starling. So they're a big community partner of ours. Ray of Hope is just down the street from us. So we work in tandem with them when youth are visiting both sites.
There's a lot going on. And I know even for those of us who are working in this sector and are familiar with many of these services, That's a long list of things that you offer youth. And I want to tie that back to what you were saying earlier, Andrea, around that intake process, which really helps the youth be able to prioritize for themselves which of those kinds of services that maybe would be beneficial for them to get plugged into, things that they want to get engaged in, driven by that need, the direction from the youth themselves.
Absolutely. And when we're setting those goals, we also want them to be successful in them, right? So some youth come to us and they are ready to, you know, get into independent housing. They are ready for work. They just need a helping hand. They need somebody to help them build a resume to prep them for that interview. Other youth come here and today they just need to get a load of laundry done. And if that's all that we do today, then that's a success. So it really, it's based on the needs and where people are at every time.
Well, and to name it, I mean, there's certainly sometimes questions that folks in the community may have around, well, support for addictions, for instance, right? That the comments about forced treatment versus choice, and just thinking a little bit about the value of and the need to build trust with the youth you work with to be able to really connect with them so that they are getting the services they're actually ready for, not just something that, you know, we think you need to do this. Because a lot of times for a lot of us, that doesn't work out so well when you're told that
especially
you
for you.
Must. Yes. And actually that trust piece, can you unpack a little bit about that for listeners? Because that's almost the glue between that intake process when you first get to connect with them and that range of services, both inside one roof and then with community.
It's a great thing to mention. Building rapport with some of these youth, it can take some time. We've had youth who are in encampments, and it can take multiple visits to get them to even, trust to take a few snacks from us or just to engage in a conversation. So it's, our staff, they are incredible. They will not give up. They will say hello every single day until they get a response. They'll sit down and play board games until you're ready to talk about other things. It takes time, and patience is the key a lot of the time with these youth. And then just kind of going back to what you were saying about, addiction and being ready for it and everything, we really do strive to be a lower barrier facility. So we take you as you are. And we understand for some people that means that you are going to be actively using substances, and that's okay. We want this to be a safe place for you as well. So obviously we have rules and protocols and things in place to keep everybody who is here safe. But we've really shifted away from that kind of abstinence-based support into a behavior-based support here at One Roof.
So finding that balance between keeping the youth safe and obviously the staff and the volunteers, but also not turning away youth just because they may have used a substance.
Absolutely.
No, that's great. And I know we've talked a little bit about some of the supports available in communities, certainly from the various social services, charities, obviously, and thinking about the work with the region of Waterloo. And what comes to mind is the plan to end chronic homelessness, which a lot of those partners that you were citing earlier are engaged in that work and are part of that table of voices looking to address chronic homelessness in really concrete ways. So representing folks with first and foremost lived experience, but then also community leaders, service providers, funders, and various levels of government. I've probably missed some groups as well, because it's a great table. Did you want to talk a little bit about One Roof's role in that kind of a table?
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm so glad you brought up the plan to end chronic homelessness. I was fortunate enough to join the co-creators table just over a year ago, and that is definitely how I've made so many connections. I think our programming has increased exponentially because of that group and being in that space and understanding that there are, programs and resources and things out there that I didn't even know about, and making those connections. So it's just been a fantastic place to network as a community that's kind of, working on the same goals. In terms of, what One Roof's role is there. So, like I said, I am part of the co-creators table and hoping to get into some of the constellations, which is the next phase of the plan, breaking off into these smaller working groups. So, obviously our focus is youth strategy. I think we really need to focus on youth as their own unique population and with their own unique set of skills, set of resources. Just the framework for helping youth needs to look different than it does for an adult or for a senior or, some of these other kind of priority populations.
Yeah, and oftentimes those priority populations, there's so much intersection in terms of gender identity, sexuality, community, various community groups, people with disabilities. Like, there's a lot of great intersections there where people's experiences of homelessness really do vary significantly. You can't have a one size fits all approach.
No. And like you said, because we break off into all of those kind of subcategories as well, that's why we really strive to have very specific plans for each individual, because nobody's story is going to be the same as the next.
Yeah. And I think for us, the value for United Way here in working as part of that group, Plan to End Chronic Homelessness, is the value of that network of services, that no one organization can possibly do this work and support folks with their unique experiences. No one organization can do that alone. So how can community members get involved to address and make a real difference in providing supports to youth experiencing homelessness?
Yeah, I think the first thing is just to understand that these are people. There's a lot of stigma around homelessness. The youth, feel uncomfortable in a lot of places because they don't feel welcome. And I think just understanding that there is a person and there is a history behind, what brought them to this point. Just a level of understanding there. And then next to that, it's just kind of getting the word out that we're here and our services exist. We really want to strive for more prevention and diversion from shelter. And I think to do that, we really need to get into schools. And we need to let people know that resources are there, like our Family Reconnect. If there's an issue brewing at home, we have resources for you to try and mediate those conversations and, see if we can't figure out a way to keep somebody at home, of course, as long as it's safe to do so. And then, volunteering. We appreciate volunteers from all walks of life, all ages. It's amazing the different personalities and experience that different youth will cling to. So the volunteers here are just incredible. We have community members. We have people that used to work in social services. We have people that used to work at One Roof. We have youth that used to access at One Roof, you know, both on staff and with volunteers. So it's having that kind of wide range of people here to help us in the work that we do.
Yeah. Well, and full disclosure, I worked and I volunteered and I did my student placement with One Roof back in the day. And it also, it kind of connects back to the resources we have in this community and the potential in terms of those network of service providers. When you look at the Plan to End Chronic Homelessness table, you see a lot of folks who've had varying experiences, some of them with One Roof and now have now moved on to other organizations. But that cross-pollination across those different organizations, the experience that we have around that table is phenomenal. And thinking about in terms of volunteers, certainly One Roof, you folks are very highly dependent on volunteers, particularly with drop-in gearing back up. That's pretty critical to be able to provide that listening ear, build that trust, and give the youth an opportunity to be heard. Volunteer Waterloo Region is, of course, a great resource for folks who are interested in opportunities, whether they're to check out places like One Roof or other sorts of service providers in community. There is a number of different listings that oftentimes anyone would be challenged to not be able to find something that intersects with an interest or a passion of theirs. So having a look at the Volunteer Waterloo Region website for opportunities is always a great thing to do.
Absolutely. And if you know how to knit, come and volunteer. If you know how to cook, come and volunteer. Like, these are life skills and fun things that we like to do for youth. So, you know, you don't have to have a background in youth care or working with, you know, individuals experiencing homelessness. We'll take you as you are. We love the range.
Yeah. The volunteer team there at One Roof and many of the organizations we work with are fantastic. So, and honestly, knowing how, you know, organizations were impacted following the pandemic and such, and getting volunteerism back, you know, up to speed. And there's still challenges there, no question, but very, very important to the social service sector.
Absolutely. Yep. All of our programming is volunteer dependent, almost all of it.
Thank you for joining us for this important conversation with Andrea Ferguson from One Roof Youth Services. The work being done to support youth in crisis is not only vital, but it is a reflection of the kind of community we all want to live in. If you would like to learn more about One Roof or the many organizations and initiatives that United Way supports across Waterloo Region, visit us at uwaywrc.ca. Don't forget to check out our other episodes of United Voices to hear more inspiring stories from our network of community builders, changemakers, and partners working every day to make a difference. United is the way to a stronger and more equitable Waterloo Region for all. Thank you for listening.